Okay, John.
All right, welcome everybody to the Fire and Emergency Services Committee meeting. It is Tuesday, December 5th, 2023, and it is 5:30 p.m. We're meeting here in the social room at Cameron Park Community Center. General Manager, would you call a roll, please?
Yes. Director Wolfson?
Present.
Director Easton?
Present. And for the sake of the recording, General Manager, can you... Who is in attendance tonight?
Or
should I not do that?
We have Chief Cadero, Chief Lilienthal, Chief Richards, Chief Martin.
Thank you very much. And member of the community.
Brad.
Who we won't put on public.
I don't care.
Probably doesn't care.
Very important person.
There we go. All right, public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. Committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. With that, we move now to the adoption of the agenda. Director Wilson.
I have no questions. I move we adopt the agenda if you have no questions.
I have no questions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Agenda adopted. We move now to the approval of the conformed agenda from our meeting November 7th, 2023.
I had no corrections on that either, so I move to adopt the conformed agenda if you have nothing.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Wow. All right.
Never happen again.
We move now to open forum where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibility of the committee. Do we have any members of the public who would like to speak to the committee regarding an item not on the agenda?
Just would like to get an update on the 2x2s or AP Triton, where all that is at, because I don't see it anymore.
Right, and what we can do is, because it's not agendized that way, what I'll offer is when we come to matters to and from committee members and staff, we can give a little update on that. That's okay with you.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Happy to do it. All right. Seeing no other members of the community with any comments, we will close open forum and move now to department matters. So the first item for business is fire department fees for services and fire prevention report with Chief Martin, Chief Richards.
All right, so we'll do the fire prevention report first.
Fire department fees, right?
Yeah, go first?
Yeah, agenda item one, fire department fees for services. So our first one.
All right, so just a little bit of background. In 2018, we did a Nexus study before I was here and brought forth the cost of doing fire prevention services in Cameron Park. The fees before were $65 an hour. That fee schedule had been in place for a long time. It got changed in 2018 for the 19 year to $165. And the fees haven't changed in the last 4 years, coming up on five. So we reviewed using the same Nexus study and just inputted the salaries and just the cost from our the approved budget for fiscal year 23-24 using those numbers and just transferred over to the same metric that they were used in the prior Nexus study and came up with a fee increase of $234 an hour from $165. I have there the Nexus study spreadsheet that kind of breaks down the salaries and all the services and supplies, calculated into a working day and hourly breakdown, and comes out to $234. And then below that, you'll see the plan review fees for service with those updated costs. For the fees that were per square footage or things that weren't connected to an hourly rate, I used the same percentage of the increase for the dollar amount. For the same increase for the per square footage amount, so it tracks the same, same metric.
Okay, so question on, is there anything else to report on that before we move to questions?
No, please.
Okay. So just on calculations, looking at the Nexus spreadsheet at the bottom, this is hourly rate for fees. It's 200 working days at 8 hours a day?
Correct.
Okay, so that's 4 day workweeks?
I'm not positive. I think that includes like your administrative support and fire marshal.
I guess
because we work 72 hours, so.
Right, so that's, I'm trying to get the rubric for this because at 200 working days, 52 weeks a year, that's a little less than 4 days a week, 32 hours a week. So just trying to get the math working out right, if that's a full, calculating that as full time or help.
It's the amount of hours that I would, because I work 72 hours, I wouldn't be doing inspections at 3 in the morning, right? So it's consolidated into the time that I'm actually, my banker's hours or my office hours.
Yeah. That's, sorry, that's one of the clarifications.
And when you look at the 200, because we didn't go out to an outside agency to do a study, we took the same document that was used in 2019, inputted the new data, but we didn't want to go and change the days or any of that, so we have that nexus back to the last document that was passed through.
Okay.
And so they used the 200 days last time to come up with their fees.
Okay.
And the fees are comparable. When you look at Diamond Springs, is probably a little bit below us. We're about comparable with County Fire's fees, and El Dorado Hills is a little bit higher per hour fee.
Yeah.
So we're right in kind of that general mix.
Okay.
Cal and I talked about this. It was done internally with Chief Moran's and Chief Smith last time, and they came up with this document. I think, Jill, you might.
Yeah, that's how that. Yes.
And so a lot of the districts will go out to have an outside consulting company come in and do a Nexus study, and we know the reality of paying for another study right now is not an option. And so we went back and looked at what was done in 2019. We keep the same document, same formula. We update the numbers to what they are today, and that's what you're seeing here.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Just the hours I was trying to cap that.
Maybe 260 days if you went 52 weeks at 5 days a week.
Okay. And I know you don't spend your whole time doing that, so it almost kind of shifts. Their rules and comments or questions?
Not really, and I assume that the intention of this is to just fully cover our expenses.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I appreciate your desire to not spend more money on a consultant, just work with what we did a few years ago.
Yeah, it's really just updating, I mean, just salary increases and then capturing what our budget line items for that fund, $8,000.
Okay. And so then the fee for service spreadsheet, same thing, just update with the fee.
It just updates with
no additions, no changes.
Nope.
All right, so no other questions from here. Can we open up for public comment? Any member of the public wish to speak? Nothing? Okay, we'll close public comment, bring it back. So this is the recommended action here is to increase the fire prevention fees. So General Manager, is this something that needs to go by the board?
Yes.
I believe, okay.
Yeah.
So action we'll do this is to forward this to the board for the next general board meeting for discussion. Jill, is there anything else in this that you think might be helpful to the board in understanding, explaining ahead of time, just for the actual report itself?
I can tie back the health and safety code provisions that allows us to, or gives us the authority to increase the fees and charge for these inspections. If that background would be helpful.
We can do that. I think, I know that we're moving towards a more contracted services, and I think for contracted services, we simply bill out for the contracted services and then apply an administrative fee based on the number of hours that you've dedicated to the project. Is that right?
Yeah, and that is unchanged in here with the consultant outside services. So it's the same ratio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there is times what we're finding, and I be kind of off topic, but it's similar, is a lot of the services that contract fire prevention consultants are able to do, some they can't do a lot of the things that I can do. An example would be a lot of the permitting meetings, pre-consultation meetings, development meetings, stuff like that, and then certain inspections are actually required for us to actually have to physically do it. So these are things I'm kind of finding out along the road with using consultant services and kind of navigating that. But I think regardless of where we end up, whether we're doing everything, they're doing so, or whatever that mix is, still need to have an actual cost of doing business. And I think that this would reflect it more accurately.
And point me to where the consultant.
Miscellaneous permits, halfway down or third of the way down, outside consultant services, 20% admin invoiced amount.
Okay.
So that gets put in there and then that spits out a number.
Okay. So recognizing that there is still work on your part and on our staff, that's an addition. As opposed to an overall bill out of which the consultant services are taken.
Correct.
The last sentence of the staff report basically says, if contracted fire prevention services are used, such as InterWest or CSG Consulting, the property owner is billed for the contractor cost and an administrative fee.
Yeah, and I get that. I'm just recognizing that I'm just trying to figure out how you then account, because most of this was based on our staff doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
they send us a bill
of
what it costs. We'll tack on the 20% and then pass that on to the contractor.
Okay, so that admin fee just covers anything else that you do. There's not any...
That's like a processing fee for us having to go online, approve the permit, take in the plan intake, back and forth, approval letters, all those kind of just the handling of the documents. So the contract services, but they're doing the actual, whether it be the actual inspection or the actual plan review, we're having to do all the scheduling, all the permit application pieces, the billing, all of that. That's what kind of is captured in that 20% admin fee.
Right, and I know that we're doing this new relationship and still figuring some of that out, so I just want to make sure that that admin fee captures it, because I had actually imagined that it was that an admin fee and potentially more if there's another role that our staff plays.
Yeah, I mean, that was the kind of, you know, the nexus that was done prior to, that's not being changed. And I think, you know, that workload would be similar. If they were to use contract services in the past, then our contract services now wouldn't really change. There's no more requirements for me to do in addition to what they were doing then. But I think what this does is it allows some flexibility of, we can do certain things kind of depending on workload and quite frankly, some of the projects that might be higher profile that I want to have more of hands-on, eyes-on, and a say will be more shift. I would do more of the reviewing or more of the inspections based on the complexity or the risk of the occupancy, so on and so forth.
Okay.
A lot of the initial things are, you know, the road widths and the access for fire engines. We definitely want to have a say with that because we know our equipment, we know our area. But when it comes to the specific things like the sprinkler design, fire alarms, the very technical skills, those are things that are going to be outside of my purview and that are more suited for a fire protection engineer to review in that consulting capacity.
Okay. I was just recognizing when the previous Nexus study was done, we were relying less on contract, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's shifted. I just want to make sure this captures what you have to do. I want to make sure we get that.
So, and there's some things in the fee schedule that we'll get to later in the agenda for future committees, but we've got them in the fee schedule now, so the fee schedule goes through at one time, and then we're going to bring up some other additional stuff coming forward to the next committee.
Okay. Great.
So we'll point that out as we get to that agenda.
Anything else might be helpful?
No, I think I'm all good.
Okay. Any other comments? All right, so we'll move this forward for the next board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your work on it. We do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Helping in every way. Okay. Move now to our next agenda item. This is number 2, the 5-year maintenance plan. Yes.
talked about that a couple of meetings ago, and we paused it in the last one, and we, I wanted to kind of firm it up to finish it. So over the last several months, the fire captains, myself, Chief Martin, kind of delved into our facilities and wanted to look at, you know, what's going to come up in the future, what are things that are in need of replacement, in need of repair, and just have a plan and have that stuff on paper so we have kind of a guidance document to kind of know what the costs are and what we're looking at. So we did a 5-year plan and put kind of the higher priority items and try to balance them with cost. So if not all the high priority items that are the most expensive are in the first year, try to balance those throughout the 5-year plan. So I've listed it out by fiscal year starting this year and ending it in 27-28. And if you want to just kind of go through some of the highlights, we brought up the HVAC, the alarm system, the radio alerting system for this year. And then the following year, refrigerator, freezer, the asphalt restripe and ceiling at station 89, some windows at 88, switching to LED lights at 88, restriping 88 with ceiling, exterior paint, and so ice machine, refrigerator, at bay, interior paint, just a lot of things that are just starting to get worn out that are going to need to be maintained and not get to the point where, you know, even like the asphalt, right? If we let that go, the alligatoring and the water starts to seep through, and then it gets past the point of no return where then we're having to get asphalt replaced instead of just sealing and staying on top of it. The big ticket items in here, HVAC at $50,000, and then we put the engines in here based on the 2015 plan of when those engines at that 20-year mark. So currently engine 289 and 288 are going to be coming up on that 20-year in
26.
At that 20-year, we're looking to move them out of reserve status, decommission, and then the front lines would move into that role and then bringing on new frontline engines. We follow that plan.
So one of the challenges of buying two fire engines at the same time is you have two fire engines to replace by a year at the same time. So engine 288 you'll see is in the 27-28 fiscal year, and 289's in the 25-26. That was to provide some separation. They were both purchased in 2006, picked up and delivered at the same time. You got to give some, you know, some break in between there.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure we had it on the plan. For this year's maintenance stuff that you see on there, the HVAC. So as things work out, the HVAC broke at station 89. We were looking at an $8,000 plus repair to band-aid it again. So we're getting that replaced Thursday. So that's off the list. The radio system at station 88 completely went out. So we guys aren't hearing calls and got to get a new antenna, new radio system put in there. There's no going away from that on that. And then the alarm system was completely out of service as well. So those items are...
So we're done for year one.
Yeah, we've checked off year one. In addition, that's not on there, we replaced this floor coverings on the stairs at 89 because those were peeling up and... we were a workers' comp case away from someone in the middle of the night going down the stairs and catching a shoe on a piece of vinyl that's sticking up and then go down the rest of the stairs unwantedly. So it's one of those challenges of, you know, that deferred maintenance over years, and it just whacked us all at one time.
I have questions, but I'll refer to you first. Unless you don't want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I know that we had worked on the HVAC system. Remind me how old that was?
So we're trying to figure that out. So I've spent the last handful of days with a bunch of guys that have spent a lot of time in Cameron Park. Mm-hmm. I thought it got replaced with the new station.
I was going to say, I think it's original to the station, isn't it?
Rebuilt. But talking to the guys that have been there long before me and that were there during the remodel after the fire, they are 95% sure that they did not replace the HVAC units on top of the station during the fire. So that means it would be pre-2003.
Okay.
Because the station caught on fire 3/17/03.
And those are the condenser units, not just the furnace? Or
that's
they're called,
combos. They're combos.
They're combos. Oh, okay. Wow.
Whenever someone comes out to work on it that hasn't, they're usually like the first impression like, oh, hey, I don't think we can get parts for this or make parts. Or And that was the last time with the guy that has come out that has been able to repair is like, the motor's done. Like, I can't get this anymore. We can't replace this. So I'm going to have to like modify and replace with a new blower that was going to be $8,000 just to repair the one that we currently have.
Okay. And not being an HVAC expert, was there benefit to getting combo unit versus separate units, recognizing the condensers wear out more quickly than furnace units?
Yeah, all the, so we went through three different companies, all gave us a variety of quotes. The one you see in here was naturally the cheapest out of the three, but based off of the size and the design, without having to do a bunch of other changes to ducting and those things, they all recommended to stick with the same style, but upgrade it. And quite frankly, part of the big cost is you got to get a crane out there to crane them on top of the station and crane them off. So it's not something where a couple guys can haul parts and pieces up a ladder
and do a pulley system on the wood frame. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the big cost comes. But we were from the 49,000 up to 60 something was the high quote to replace them. And this company said 1 week they could have all the parts and be able to do the work. And so they're coming out Thursday.
Thursday will be the HVAC and the radio at 88 will be done.
Okay. I'll ask on the radio side, what's the warranty on the new?
I don't know what that is. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't have that answer for you.
Get back to you.
That, okay. I'm just curious. Sounds like we got a good life out of the previous one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought it was all new and been in meetings all this week with a bunch of guys that were around and said, hey, they ever replaced that? And they're like, you'd
surprised.
Have to have a crane.
Really surprised.
But the units sat on the other side of the block wall. So they sit on top of the apparatus bay. So everything to the west of the apparatus bay and the cinder block walls that burn, but the appay did not.
You were there.
The spaceship.
Okay. You weren't there?
I was there.
Oh, yeah.
So protected those from getting burned.
Yeah. Thank you for buying us a few years. Poor use. Although, okay.
Yeah, sure is.
And so the radio system is coming in this week too?
Yeah, and that came in significantly cheaper than what we had projected. I think it came in at $3,600 for a direct replacement of the radio, the encoder, the wiring, and the antenna.
Wow.
The current system that's in there, the couple of the guys that came looked at it were like, ooh, that's early 80s. So they couldn't.
Again,
I mean,
these things burn.
Yeah, I mean, early 80s, so we got, 40 years out of it.
Okay, that's a good investment.
But those are one of those things, like, we have to have that set for the 911 center to be able to get a hold of us for a call.
Yeah, I mean, how were they functioning without it?
Hand radios
and pagers.
And relying on text pages. And
how long ago did it go out?
It's been having a little bit of issues. That's where we kind of put it in this plan up front. Been having issues over the summer, did some testing, got some bids, and no one really wanted to work on it. And then once this last couple weeks started to fail a lot, and then said, hey, listen, this needs to get addressed immediately. So,
thank you for being proactive on this. What's the standard life of a radio system?
4 years. I mean, that's how long the...
Well, I'm only asking these questions because the five-year plan's great. Now I'm saying let's extend that out and start putting in years down where we can be looking at this again when we need to, and if that's when we're all dead and gone, you know, okay, fine. But
yeah, I think we're putting in, you know, we're not putting in a modern digital change in the speakers or anything. It's all, you know, solid analog technology that works tried and true. It's a VHF radio system, so there's not a ton of complexity to it. I would say that this will be a long-lasting fix and repair. And the parts they're putting in are the radio, the decoder, and the antenna. They're all available parts to be able to work on that stuff.
Do you have a binder or some kind of document where all of this is going to be put? You know, I have my house, and I keep track of all the repairs I do, painted in, replaced HVAC in, so that I can go back and document when I did the stuff so that we're not wondering, so when was that put in? Do we have some kind of record for that?
So for the last 12 years, Fire Captain Winger has very good records because he's been doing the finances for them. We have a binder for each year of everything we paid for. So we have that record up to there. And then when we have questions, we come to the CSD, and then usually Jill or Christina can go back farther and give us the information.
Our financial software has tracks our asset inventory. So that was all, our asset inventory was all uploaded into our financial software. So we have all of that.
I think is it the Brown?
We have a Browning Reserve, which is inventory of all of, that's a separate document, so inventory of all of our assets with a schedule for replacement. And it goes parks, community center. It was a document that was done in 2015, and I think it's a 25-year document. So we do have the Browning Reserve, and I know Mike has referenced that for some of the parks and community center things, and I'm not sure if you guys use that or were directed into that. So, mm-hmm. You know, that is a document that the district does have, and those replacement schedules are on there. Now, we may need an update of that because generally Mike's practice is, you know, he takes a look at, oh, okay, the Browning Reserve says X, Y, and Z needs to be done. We don't go just to do it, just to do it. We will have an assessment of whatever that asset is to say, yes, it's working fine. No, we're not going to replace that, but I've got this other asset that's not supposed to replace for 3 years, but it's broken. Okay. So, you know, there is that staff consideration that's put in.
I have appreciated along the way as we've been doing these pieces, getting here's the engine history, here's all this, and I'm wondering about for future committees, not to complicate anything, but I like having our binders where we have some of the documents, maps, and things that we could use on a regular basis for decisions, as well as just a reference. And I'm thinking committees for next year, wondering if having some of that summary data just every meeting, or at least available so that committees...
I think it needs to get up on the website. We're taking a look at our website, and we're going to, you know, I think that there's, with the town hall meetings and things like that, there's a lot of these questions that are coming forward. Yeah. And so I think documents such as this, you'll find we will start posting them so that the public has access to them. Because they're all public documents.
Right. And my thought is I want to make sure that they're in front of board members.
Yeah.
In
yes.
the years to come.
Absolutely.
So that we're thinking about it before we get to these points. And
yeah.
Making these
absolutely. Steps. Has to be actively managed, and the district hasn't done a good job in actively managing that.
Yeah, I was just wondering where the estimates came from.
So the captains had gotten Captain Winger has been very engaged in getting bids for these and asking. The years, and so he had these numbers already in a CIP working document, so I was able just to pull those. Some of these, like the engines, I put a 20% on what we had previously paid, and then added another $20,000 for the engine of the following year. Just those are not exact quotes because they're constantly changing with
sure.
getting an estimate on those, but those are on the higher end. For what we comparable we have, but a lot of these were done with past bids and estimates.
Dusty, Callan, Christina, and I are going to meet probably during the holidays, December 20th, to take a look at their five-year CIP, and to, for us to have a conversation about funding. So right now we replace the heater, but have not identified a funding source yet. So this will need to elevate to the board. They'll retroactively approve the general manager's purchase of that emergency asset. And we'll have to identify a funding source. So we're gonna kind of go through that process so that we can plan for it.
Open it up for public comment. Any questions from our member of the public here? Anybody? No? Okay. Let's probably comment and bring that back. It's my only question in this, you know, you're the expert. Are there any other considerations for fire stations just over time, recognizing there's certain standards you have to keep structurally? And I know a lot, some of that's captured here. Is there anything else that longer term we need to be?
Not that we have found, and we tried taking some bit of a systematic approach to some of this. Obviously, knowing the HVAC was going to be a problem, we didn't think it was going to be this quick. We thought we had a little bit of time when Jill and I talked about it before a couple of committees ago, and then the guys were using space heaters and trying to use the downstairs heater to heat the upstairs because the upstairs had no heat, which naturally is just going to put stress on the other unit, and then that one's going to go down. But as we looked through this, and we went, Captain Winger over the years prior to my tenure has submitted for a bunch of these things or had pushed it from his level to the battalion chief, and I don't know where it went from there, and really looked at a lot of these things. So we went back and we sat down and said, okay, what things need to be done? Let's go canvas the stations, and what are we looking at? Yeah, we could probably find more. But we also have to keep some of that within reason, right? And so what are kind of the high topic items? And that's why we went through, you know, like sealing and restriping the compound. If we keep up on that, then we don't have major asphalt maintenance and cost. And I've learned a whole lot about asphalt that I never cared to learn about. But asphalt is really expensive right now. It is really hard to get. The asphalt plants are allocating up to 6 months out. So when you start looking at some of those projects and timelines, I'm dealing with it on a project at the airbase, in hundreds of thousands of dollars to get projects done. So if we do the sealing and you know, the recoat, then that saves us from major maintenance down the road. I mean, we saw what the cost was for a very small patch from this winter of work, and that wasn't really getting a full asphalt machine out to do it. So that's why Jonah did that. The windows at Station 88, they're 20 plus years old. You can feel the drafts coming in. So we tried taking a bite out of the elephant and pick some of the high ticket things that we could actually put on a plan, because we've never had a plan and we've never budgeted for it during budget season. Like, hey, these are the things. And this is what it is a plan. The HVAC, I'd probably say was the biggest one, but as we go through the budgeting process and, okay, if we can't paint the interior of the fire station this year, is that a make or break thing? No, but that, this kind of sets the guiding document as we go to budgets next year and we're looking at it. Okay, some of these are here, can we fit these things into our budget? Sure we can, or no, we need to take this out and we'll reevaluate it at mid-year budget.
Yeah.
So I think we have a fairly good thing. There's gonna be things that come up that we didn't think about or broke or something like that that we're going to have to deal with, but we tried taking a pretty good swag at it with the big ticket items.
And you might have things that break before you anticipate too.
Before we get to whatever it is in that year.
Just for clarity, we have two units on HVAC.
Two at 89.
Two at 89. One is out, and that's we're replacing the one.
We're replacing both.
Both. Okay. All right.
Because they're the same vintage, we just
yes.
do, yeah.
No, I'm all for that. I'm just making sure I
yeah.
understood the
yeah.
Yeah, it's
the
both.
Price
both.
Here, what we're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
Initially, we thought we got a really good deal, and then there was the second page that was
yeah.
Oh, God. I'm like, this is awesome. 23,000 some change, like... Let's do this. And then, oh, wait.
There's
a second
page 27.
Because they didn't bid it. You know, two of the companies didn't bid it as one lot, but they did one unit and one unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I looked at that first one, I'm like, well, this guy's much cheaper. It's half. And, well, then there was the second page to the other unit.
So out of curiosity, are those all electric?
Combo gas and electric.
Combo gas and electric. Are we keeping it that way? Are we switching
yes,
to electric?
Yes. Combo. All three of the HVAC companies said that's the most efficient for heating the station.
Okay. I wasn't sure if the fact that we have solar there would make a difference on the choice. Paying for propane versus electric.
Yeah, because the other option would be a heat pump, which
right.
would be a combo electric. But they said that those are not, that size are not as efficient for heating with compared to liquid petroleum gas.
Okay. And there's no concern in where our state's going in terms of trying to phase out propane in many, many aspects of life. No concern on that?
I don't have a concern because we're so far down the road on that. Yes, we have solar, but to be brutally honest, I don't know if we're seeing the big savings that everybody thinks we're seeing. We still see a solar bill every month, and I'm mm-hmm. betting that solar bill's just as much as our
it is. Our savings
bill.
For solar doesn't come until year three, and then from there it kind of... it's a steady climb from there, and
yeah.
it gains every year. So, and we did check PG&E to see if they had opportunities to for grants to replace the HVAC systems, and they do not. They were looking at bigger HVAC systems. Those were actually, according to PG&E, relatively small for their grant program. Hmm.
Okay. Thanks, PG&E.
So.
Okay. But we will hopefully see some savings and efficiency there then.
Yes. Correct.
Oh, yeah. They should be much more efficient.
That's wonderful. And how soon will those get in?
Thursday.
All one day.
It's in 2 days to do the work. So Thursday, Friday.
Okay. The guys holding up okay with space heaters?
Mm-hmm. Between the Santa Parade, they'll be warm from running.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, Dr. Wilson?
No.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you for this. there's going to be a time when this will be helpful to show to the board. I know it'll be in our agenda, and anybody can look at it. I'm wondering about a little down the road, just so that the larger board's aware, if we just point them to it in our agenda.
You mean briefing each of the board members, you mean? Or?
Yeah, just for awareness.
I think I've talked to some of them to let them know, just one-on-one, as I did you and Don.
Okay.
So that
we talked about the HVAC.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the whole thing.
Yeah, we can. Well, and in your report out at the board for committees,
yeah,
you guys can
do
that as well.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and put them to the agenda.
Great. Okay. Unless there's anything else, we'll move past agenda item two. Move now to staff reports. Chief Richards.
Chief Martin's going to...
You got prevention first, right?
Prevention first, all right. So quick update, inspection hours, 32 violations, 16 corrected, 12. Our new admin assistant, Katie, started a couple weeks ago. She's been engaged in a lot of training. We've done some site visits, visited El Dorado County Fire and with their admin tech, permit tech, and did some training. They kind of collaborated, got in contact with each other, so it's good to be able to kind of bounce some questions off there when I'm not in the station and out and about. Brings a wealth of knowledge, came from a private insurance, large insurance company in the region as a marketing team manager, so very fluent with computer software, extremely efficient with picking things up, so has been really helpful taking a lot of workload off of my plate with a lot of the public contacts, billing,
application, going back and forth with the county or with our consultant agent companies about project management, and has identified some areas that we can improve on. So very happy with that. So that's been a great help. So that's worked out better than expected and better than planned. So that's the only thing I have as far as prevention other than the fees. And then there's some other items that we'll bring up in the for future committees when we get there.
Great.
Questions? Nope. All right. So that's fire prevention. Let's move now then to, we reversed those accidentally, I think.
Yes, one of the reports came in. I didn't copy it sequentially.
So let's do the department report.
Yep, so I'll take that for tonight. You'll see the call volume there. The big thing to understand is on the, you'll see a big decrease when it's showing the yearly decrease, and part of that was the way that we were running the reports. And so with the medic unit transitioning out, some of the move up and covers in that with the medic unit were generating because they generated out of Cameron Park. They were coming in as some of those other call volume types. So that's why you see the big change in decrease in numbers there. We're looking at that large decrease is predominantly because of that was getting captured in our year, in our total. So it's actually a much better representation of where we're at. You've got the maintenance needs of where we're at up to date. And then you've got rental income in here for the year. Obviously,
it's in there.
Slow fire season, but the big thing to note, I want to point out in the rental income is you've got a pretty big chunk of in there, $65,000 for OES Water Task Force. So we staffed up a water rescue team this year, and that is the reimbursement from there. But one of the pieces I know in the current budget year. It's in our budget that all rental income goes to the general fund. One thing to make note of is part of that $65,000 is the reimbursement for the employees that got charged to the district. So you'll see that come through on the Cal Fire side on our invoices because we used our Cal Fire folks, but their overtime rate was charged to the district knowing that we are getting reimbursed. So some of that may not absolutely line up because it's not necessarily all true rental income because some of it is reimbursement for personnel time of the Cameron employees plus the Cal Fire employees that were on their overtime days were coded off to Cameron Park because they were getting reimbursed under OES.
Last fiscal year.
Yeah, but it came in this.
Right.
Yes.
So those costs would have been captured in our contract costs for staffing last year.
They would have, yes.
Okay. So we just need to allocate that to the general fund,
just,
I think.
Yeah, just something to be aware on that.
Okay.
We had an airplane crash in at the airport.
Yes, we did. Heard about them from a few directions.
It was a Cessna 170. Upon landing, lost control. And went off the runway and came to rest. No injuries out of it. Pretty minor incident in all all things considered. Pretty lucky. Both occupants of the aircraft didn't go to the hospital. They were evaluated at scene and good. And, but as we look at damages. Anytime you have aircraft, your damage cost is pretty high because airplanes are expensive to fix and repair. So probably a pretty good chunk of change for that individual and his airplane. But as far as operations, it went pretty darn well.
Remind me where your access point is.
There's multiple. So we have
come from the west side, just the neighborhood, but where else?
So on Long Cam Park Drive, we actually have a new access point starting at Alhambra. So there was a tenant improvement that was done at a old hangar business. They've completely redone it on the corner, and during that permitting process, we require them to take their old gate and update it with a new gate that has a fire department key. So we have that access. We also have the main access point off of, it's considered Mira Loma, but it's the Alhambra Loop south. So right there where like the fuel station is at the airport. And then just up the road from that, there's another commercial occupancy where the aircraft hangar, they do repairs. That also has a fire department key in it. When they built that, that was required. And then even further up the road, there's a commercial strip mall, also has a gate with a fire department key. So you have about four access points on the east side. On the west side, you have the two, which are the taxiways from the air park proper that have a key, and then also our button opens it, and then our radio frequency opens it. So there's about six access points that are defined with gates and keyed access. We chose to use the spot where someone was in the road going like this and pointing to the open gate that they had opened. So we chose just that one based on ease. But traditionally, that Mira Loma Alhambra corner across from the storage facility, Caddy corner of the storage facility, that's our primary point of access because it takes you right to the taxiway, then that splits. You can go it's runway right, left or right. It's right, right, it's about mid span on the runway.
Yep, so pretty positive outcome there. We did transition on November 15th, Medicaid 89 over to Medicaid 86. That all went well, no issues. We had a little ceremony on the morning of for Medicaid 89 after 38 years of service into Cameron Park. Saw some folks that traveled far and wide from our agency in for the going away little ceremony. Folks came down from Oregon. We had some folks from Southern California that came in that all had in the past worked on the medic unit and worked in the Cameron Park contract. So that was pretty neat to see quite a bit of folks. Some folks drove over for that are working in Humboldt now that had spent a bunch of time here. And, so pretty awesome to see that. Pretty good little opportunity, and all of our local fire agencies came and supported us, so I thought it was pretty neat. Well done. The transition went extremely smooth with El Dorado Hills, and so we're clean and free of the medic unit. I know there's a lot of questions in the community, and you know, as board members, I just ask you to be that advocate that folks probably didn't understand that the medic unit wasn't here about 50% of the time as is, running calls, and it's based off of a system-wide system status management plan that's through the JPA that is then given to our command center to move the ambulances around. So I know there's a feeling in the community that there's a loss of service, but there's really no change in the service level that the community members had prior to the medic being here to now. Yes, it's when it gets home, it's no longer Station 89, it's at Station 86, but no different as we have Station 28 on the other side of us, and the ambulances are constantly moving back and forth. The last couple of days, I think I've got three or four pages that we've had zero ambulances available in the county. And so that's just part of the system. So just because it was here doesn't mean that it was housed out here, that it was here more than or not. It depended on how busy the system was. And both engines are ALS staffed, and the folks on the engines can provide the same care as the folks on the ambulance. The difference is they just don't have the vehicle to drive them to the hospital. But we can do all treatment at scene before the ambulance gets here and then continue on the way to the hospital. We started the decommission of Engine 389 after the last board meeting and the approval of that. It'll be fully out of service after this weekend, after the Santa Parade. So it'll be part of the Santa Parade, and then the radios will be stripped, the decals on the side will be stripped, equipment will be pulled off of it, completed, and then we'll be working with Jill to get it to auction. Utility 289 has been decommissioned out of the fire department and transferred over to the CSD, Parks Department. So Jill called, and Mike, they were in desperate need of a pickup truck for their operations, and so we pulled one out of the fire department and gave it to Parks. So our capital asset went down and theirs went up.
How does that impact operations for you all?
We will make it work. There was a greater need at the parks, and so we still have two utilities. And so we'll, each station has a utility and we'll make it work. I think part of it too for us is, when we had the full-time fire prevention specialist, that was the vehicle that that they were driving and doing inspections and that in. But now we're a little bit different, a hybrid that opens it up for us. The guys still need a utility to go and do the things they need to do on a daily basis. But there was the bigger need was in the parks department than with us. So Mike's getting the process of taking the light bar off and stripping the decals and that stuff.
He doesn't get to keep the light bar, huh?
No light bar. Light bar's off. Light bar's off.
Okay.
He doesn't get to keep that one.
No code three.
So multiple traffic collisions, which is similar surge incidents, and then our equipment responded to residential structure fire out and rescue. Cal Fire BC assumed command, and fire was extinguished, but both engines out of the district, and our covering Cal Fire BC responded to that out of here. End of report.
Great. Anything, Director Wilson?
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate all your good prep for that.
Yeah.
We really like being updated on this. Okay. We move now to items for future committee agendas.
So the two things that we got for future committee agendas, you will see it in the fee schedule that we push forward. But two things that we're going to bring forward to you. One is a software program for our inspections. Currently, if we do the inspections or if CSG does the inspections, they're doing it on paper. And we are tracking the triplicate copies and the paper copy of that. So the software is to get us into the computer age side of it. It allows us to better track our inspections, what are the status of them, where are they at, easier follow-up, computerized system, you know, and we can go back and look at it. It makes it much easier to go back and look at the past inspection than having to file through and try and pull the paperwork. So that'll come, but that is already, if you look at the per hour fee that's already been calculated in there, that's a software cost of about $5,000 a year. And then the other thing we would like to bring back to the committee is a billing transaction service. It's understanding it is another company other than what we are currently using for like first responder fee and that, but they specialize in billing for fire prevention. We're using what other departments in the county, we're looking at going to what other departments in the county are already using. It's a flat rate fee that they charge to bill per inspection. That's already in the fee schedule, so their cost per bill will be already incorporated in our fee schedule. And so when we can get them to process the bills and they can continue, we have some loss in revenue, and it's predominantly on our state mandated inspections because we are showing up there to inspect their building. They don't need something from us. When we have permits and that, they need something from us. So they have to pay the fee before we sign them off. Callan's going crazy.
Mark Chapel has a call.
they have to pay the fee up front. But when we go to the state mandated, now we're going to ask them to pay. Right now, we don't have a company to chase that down for us and continue to go after. And so those two items will be coming at the future committee.
Okay.
Great. And part of it is you know, yes, they tie all back into the fee schedule, but we also have to balance workload with Jill and Christina and some of these things of hitting it all at once. And so we chose to keep those things for the next committee, allows us some time to meet with Jill and Christina on some of that, and then bring it back at next month. But they are built into that fee schedule, so when that goes through, it's already pre-built in there, and then we can march forward.
Great. Okay. Anything else from staff for agenda? Anything for future agendas on your radar?
No, it was just the fee schedule, wasn't it?
Well,
that's for the board.
That's for the board.
Next,
right.
Yeah, next item.
Right, I'll just put that in. Yeah, fee schedule. That all right, so then items you take to the board of directors. This will be the fee schedule to take forward as Director Olson said. I'll do that next board meeting.
And the HVAC system will go as well.
Okay. Great. Okay. Now we have matters to and from committee members and staff. Anything from staff that we haven't heard?
I got one thing, and I guess it's procedural, and maybe a little understanding to me. So we present here to committee, but when the items go from committee to board, the committee has all the background, but committee does not present those items to the board. It goes back to, say, me to present all over again. So I guess some of the history of that and why not the committee take that and present that, since we presented it to the board. We presented it to a committee. We've had discussions here. And I guess where I'm getting at is obviously some of the bantering that I got from another board member at the last board meeting back and forth. We presented everything, and then when we get to the board, I get a comment that this report is insufficient and that. So the two things, I guess, that I'm really struggling with is if I'm going to present here and then the committee is not going to present at the board and then I have to present again the same item all over again at the board, wouldn't it be just easier to go straight to the board and present the one time?
That's a good question to consider. I do know historically there have been some things that it's easier for the committee to process, and part of that is a time issue, because we can have more discussion here. If it elevates to the board, then that gets added onto the full board time.
And doesn't it sometimes go back for more work before it goes to the board also?
Yes. And you have a comment?
Go ahead.
I know that's part of the reason why we try to answer questions ahead of time, get additions to the report so that the questions to the board level are limited. I don't see a problem with some of those things going straight to the board for that reason, except that if it happens on one committee, it would happen on all committees. And that would concern me, simply because now you've got all the different committees and all the different departments all presenting at a board meeting, and that becomes quite onerous. The idea is hopefully it becomes more efficient by we discuss it in a small group with two rather than five.
Which I don't disagree with you.
Right.
And that would be that other
aspect.
That's,
the ideal.
Is
right.
It
yeah.
More appropriate than when we're taking something from this committee to the board that the committee presents on that versus the department? And I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
No, that's an appropriate question.
Experience at last couple of meetings.
So what Dusty, what I explained to Dusty is that, and every general manager is a little bit different, but when something comes from committee up to the board, which I would say 90%, 95% of the things that come to the board come through committee so that we can have this conversation. You guys are an anomaly, but it's for Brad and those other, you know, people that attend it so that they have a greater understanding. And for the committee to say, hey, come back with this information or that. So once we complete that back and forth, staff report is written, and then when it goes to the board, I vet every single agenda item with board members individually before the board meeting. So I will sit there and walk through so that each board member asks staff questions and gets their questions answered prior to the board meeting. Purpose of board meetings is for board deliberations. It's not to grill staff. The questions from staff should have already been answered so that those board deliberations can take place, because that's the only place that they can be taken. That's the only place where they can have be done, is at the board. So, but sometimes there are things that come up. So I will present an item. I will pretty much state the facts of the item. And then oftentimes committee members will advocate. That's why that's the section in the staff report that says the committee is supporting this item coming to the board, or it's divided support. One supported it, one did not, but that's there. So I state the facts. Committee members will often advocate for something. This is why we are bringing it forward to you and all that, and then it's up to the board. So there are board members that often have questions for staff at the board meeting, but it's always been my practice to minimize those because it really should be board deliberations when it gets to the board. So, and I don't know if you have anything to add. Now that you've thought about it a little bit, yeah. Dusty and I have already talked about this a little bit.
No, and that's the process that I've known for the last number of years, and even personally knowing I can ask my questions ahead of time. And then, day before, day out, oh, I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, I mean, right. You'll say something and that'll raise a question mm-hmm. that I hadn't thought of or whatever.
Right.
Well, I guess, right, in full transparency, where I'm coming from is when you look at the procedural as we walk through this. Jill brings up an item, right? She talks about it. Then it goes to me. And then the board president then goes to the board members. We don't go to the committee for the committee to provide some of that explanation of how we got from X, Y, and Z. So depending on which order that the board president goes in, then it asks a bunch of questions where we have had a lot of deliberations back in committee, but none of that comes up until we walk through each individual board member and it gets to, okay, here.
Right.
So that was my question, is that when we take things out of committee into the board, is that the time where the committee would present some of these items to answer some of those questions? Because we have had those back and forth. Yeah. What I find a lot of time is that on our stuff, we repeat a lot of the same things that we've talked about over and over and over again. And that's where my comment came, is it easier just to take some of these direct to the board, because we're having to repeat the same things over and over. Or is there a better way of doing this to where Fire and Emergency Services Committee presents some of these things at the board meeting, because we've had all the discussions in here, support or no support, but just more of that procedural understanding of, we talk a lot of it here, but then when we actually get in the board meeting, it starts with Jill, it goes to me, and then we start going down the line of the board members, versus the committee a lot of times isn't really engaged in that until it comes to you as a specific board member.
So it sounds like what you're beginning to imagine is the potential of the committee members becoming a part of the presentation to the board at that point. And it, obviously some of that's reflected in the staff report. Mm-hmm. If the committee approves this, mm-hmm. maybe there are some details from our discussion that the committee can simply say, here's what we consider looked at to answer the questions before they're asked, although the hope is that they've already been addressed in...
Board members have every opportunity,
yeah, and so
before
that's,
the board meeting. And so, and I will... some every board member is unique, and some people... some people...
Yes, we are.
...will ask their questions in a very sincere manner to get all the information they can prior to the meeting, and others simply don't.
Correct.
Okay. Let me chew on that. Not that I have any more authority than one of five, but no, it's a good point to make. And as much as anything, I think there is some responsibility on the committee as we've deliberated it to support staff. Mm-hmm. How will we do that and present it to the board? If there's good rationale here, great. If there's something that other board members have thought of that we didn't, we do need to bring that up and ask those questions. And I know you know that.
Mm-hmm. I know absolutely.
That. So let me think about how that might efficiently happen.
Jill and I did, we went back and forth on this, and it was just something I wanted to break up because I just find with some of these contentious items where we've gone back and forth, we think we have a great roadmap. We walk into that room over there and that roadmap is completely blown apart in some aspects. And for me, it leaves me sitting there thinking, well, why do we have all this deliberation at the committee if the committee doesn't get to explain some of this to the board? Is there another way of this mousetrap of reporting information or that? Because if we look at the agenda, when do we do committee report outs? After all the agenda items are already done, which was, you take the fee schedule for this meeting alone, right? That's going to come on to a agenda item on the agenda way before we get to committee reports. So there's no opportunity for you to speak to from the committee, hey, we had some discussions about this and that. And so that's kind of where some of this in my mind is coming from, is trying to learn. By all means, I learn every day on boards, and just some of that workflow. And if you got four or five items that come out of committee to agenda items, what do you really have to talk about at the committee report when we've talked about all the agenda items prior to that?
Let me touch base with the general manager after to see how that might become just a part of the conversation when we do present agenda items. Because, of course, not everything from committee elevates.
Correct.
And so part of the report out is here's other things we're looking at that haven't gotten to you yet or might never get to you.
Yeah.
Let me talk with Jill and see how that might work.
Absolutely.
Because we do want to support staff in that and make sure that we don't want to minimize questions, but we want to take care of them.
Yeah. But and it's not just this committee, too. I mean, I imagine it happens with Parks and Rec and budget and everything else,
yeah, it's
too.
The same process for all of them. And it is typically a good process, you know, to have the whatever the item is deliberated on in a more of a workshop setting.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, you look at some of the things. It's taken us two committees to get through to have that final package. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I want to also acknowledge, typically, correct me if I'm wrong, more of that burden comes to the general manager in terms of disseminating information to board and bringing it back from board members so that in the presentation, the staff report, the general manager can address things. And I want to acknowledge, not to put that on you as much as acknowledge, we've had an interim general manager for a number of months with limited hours, and so I'm sure that's impacted some of our ability.
Yeah, I mean, but I have no issues with the... Jill does an amazing job explaining it, and we're not walking in there blind. Her and I talk before every board meeting, make sure the reports are there and that. Like I said, it was just, for me, after the last board meeting we had, is there some procedural things where we have a lot of this discussion at committee to where some of that can come on the front side before we get to a bunch of the other things.
And so that then needs to come to the board discussion to have that deliberation rather than directing it at staff, I think, is another part of that. So that needs to come to among us, not at you. So we'll watch for that too. Any other matters from staff?
That's
a pretty solid one. Anything?
Santa Parade this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
The date that Brad asked for.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah.
Santa Parade. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Beautiful. 8, 9, 10. I've seen it.
Got room on the sleigh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then...
nice and cold that night.
Do you want to speak to the AP Triton?
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to answer the question, part of the AP Triton update, general manager can tell you where that's at in process for the report. Mm-hmm. The simple answer is we're expecting that January is what we're hoping right now.
So there is going to be some community outreach that AP Triton is doing in the January-February timeframe. And the survey that was talked about in their contract. And so they are going to be launching that in the February, January-February timeframe. We are also, I have a meeting with them on Friday because I would also like to orchestrate the town halls that we've talked about. We have one with Rotary on the 14th. Eric is speaking to Rotary. We will have public ones. We are taking requests from other special groups that would like a specific presentation. But if we do that as well in that January-February timeframe, then we can direct people to go to what AP Triton is doing for their survey. So we can generate people taking the survey through these town hall meetings.
So is the intent for AP Triton, how is AP Triton going to communicate the fact that there's a survey?
It'll be through our website and through, and Mountain Democrat has always been very responsive to our requests for information to be put in their newspapers. We'll probably do social media and then also these town hall meetings, things like that.
And then after the survey is concluded, when will the report be presented?
I believe that information will be put into that feasibility study report, March, April timeframe. I think that how typically, and I think I've said this before, large issues such as this, I typically do a workshop setting first with the board and the community so that the board can absorb the information without having to make a decision. And then also the community can absorb the information without actually feeling like they have to decide what they want at that meeting. So if you, present the whatever your large topic is in that setting, then you come back at another time, a couple weeks later, a month later, next regular meeting. I would think that this would have to be in a regular meeting that we would want to make a decision about. The next step would be an intent to act. So then the board would have to, they would hear a more formal presentation, here's staff's presentation, here's the recommendation, public testimony, and then the board would potentially make a decision.
So the AP Triton study is going to be inclusive of the survey rather than the public's viewing of the AP Triton report and then be asked to render an opinion through the survey.
So the AP Triton report, I see it as kind of a data-driven report kind of thing. I think that always people can question the process by which that data was gathered, but my hope is that they're looking at audits, capital assets, tax revenues, that's kind of black and white kind of stuff, and then a recommendation will come out of that. I think that the survey is to gather, and I haven't seen the questions, so I don't know. That's why we're meeting on Friday, is to gather information about, what our community is looking for in a fire services. Is it basic life support? Is it advanced life support? Is it important for them to keep Station 88 open, or is it more important to invest in a bigger fire station in Cameron Park? So it's kind of some of those things that I think that they just wanted to gather feedback from the community, same as what we're doing in the town hall, so that people have input in the process. So your question regarding the community having input before not having the ability to have input in the AP Triton study, if we deliver, I would assume, a draft report in a workshop setting, it'll be a draft report. And then, therefore, you would have an ability to provide input. That report potentially could change before it was finalized and went to the board.
So, I guess what I'm getting at is, if the public is not aware of certain pieces of information,
Mm-hmm.
And they're being asked to render an opinion about mm-hmm. something that they don't have enough information on. Mm-hmm. That seems like the cart in front of the horse.
If there is information that is needed before a decision can be rendered, either whether it's a community member requesting information or a board member requesting information, we would be obligated to respond. I don't know how else to explain.
I understand.
So.
I'm just concerned that AP Triton is going to render a report on facts and information that's static, but yet put emphasis on what the public survey is about, which the two may not even be.
Correct. Yeah, and I can't tell you exactly that. In addition, I think you have to remember that the LAFCO annexation process, if the board does approve an intent to annex, continues to be a public process.
I understand.
And so while AP Triton will be providing and doing some of the work for LAFCO, I am sure that LAFCO will also have their own staff and consultants looking at the work that AP Triton did, and those reports will continue to be public information. So. And community can still weigh in on all of those things.
And I assume AP Triton is going to render an opinion, right?
They'll render a recommendation, yes.
Okay.
And I appreciate your question on that. I'm taking notes because those are helpful questions. And the rest of the report, to answer your question, is we are continuing in conversation with our consultant, Don Ashton, as an ad hoc committee. And so those conversations are ongoing as things come up. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, we have the town hall meeting at Country Club in November. So there were a number of questions that came out of that. So we're developing an FAQ sheet so that can become public knowledge. And so as a committee with consultant and general manager, we're going through that, looking for repetition, looking for questions like, you know, I'm not sure that's necessarily a question all the public needs to worry about. That was a very specific for a person kind of thing. So we're working on frequently asked question form that will go out, so the public can see some of the questions and process that's already happening. We have on December 14 a presentation to Rotary, so another community place has requested that, so I'll be part of that. We had two by twos in November with the two agencies, and we continue to talk with them. Both have said they'd love to talk some more, so we'll look at that in the new year. Love to keep the conversation going more quickly, but it's December, that gets hard. Cal Fire has requested some conversation just to be checking in with us, as well as, you know, what does that mean for them? So they're our partners right now. We want to continue talking with them. So we'll be doing that. And then LAFCO, there's actually a meeting tomorrow. It was canceled. I set aside time for that. Dang. Okay. So I guess we don't have a LAFCO meeting tomorrow. There should be another one coming up.
Yeah, the LAFCO is hearing our revised municipal service review tomorrow evening at 5:30. So that is going to LAFCO tomorrow.
Okay, so that's tomorrow evening.
At 5:30. So, and the FAQs are being finalized. They're on my desk right now. I would expect that they would be posted by the end of the week. And as we have new questions, or if somebody sends us a question via email, and we haven't answered it in that FAQ, we will continue to add to that. It's a living document, yes.
So that's what I have to report right now. Does that answer?
Yeah, just like to stay up on top of it.
And I'm glad you do. I really am. Okay. I have nothing else to report.
I have nothing else.
And so with that, we now come to the end of our agenda. We have a motion to adjourn.
I certainly move to adjourn.
And I'll second that. All in favor? Aye. And we adjourn at 6:49 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for a slightly longer meeting. But I appreciate you being here and being part of it.
So the LAFCO cancellation wasn't for the public, right?
No. We were going to discuss...